Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The greatest lie that the devil has ever told is the lie that he does not exist. The demons are real. Satan is real. And at least the adversaries of Jesus know this. They accuse him of being in league with Satan, the prince of demons, Beelzebul. But we have taken the bait. We have begun to believe the lie that demons are not real, that they have no power, and that Satan does not exist. But he is real. He does exist, and he does have power. Not so much power sometimes as we might be convinced that he is an equal and opposite in power to God, that there is some kind of dualistic nature of the universe, that there is a bad God and a good God, and Satan's just the bad God, and they're wrestling it out. He does not have as much power as God. This becomes clear as you search the scriptures, that Satan, no matter how much he tries to fight against God and his people, even the means by which he uses are used against him. He is often overcome by the very devices that he tries to employ to overcome and hurt his church, God's church. We see this most especially in the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil thought he had him, finally. We've got him killed. We've got him cornered. But this was the means, the suffering and death, the holy precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that put death to death, that overcame Satan and bound him in chains for all eternity. He is on a leash, therefore, and God is in control. We must not begin to believe that once we believe that Satan and the demons are real, that they are equal in power to God. But we also must not begin to believe that we on our own are an equal match to the demons and to Satan himself. That we by ourselves can just go in this spiritual battle and defeat him. That is not the case. He is more powerful than we are. He is a strong man, Jesus says. But there is one stronger than he who overcomes him and conquers him and casts him out. What our Lord is teaching us in this discussion, after he has cast out the demon from the man who is mute, is first that there can be no alliance between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. There is a division made between them, as we read in the Old Testament reading. They are distinct and they are at war. And so we must not begin to believe the other lies that come out of Satan's mouth, who is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies, that somehow we can make use of his lies in this age for the benefit of the church. That somehow we can water down the words of the Lord, the holy scriptures, which have been revealed and recorded to us in the Bible. That we can water that down and somehow still be part of the kingdom of God. And let's make no mistake, This is not something new that the church is just experiencing now with regard to human sexuality, where we cannot define what a woman is or what a man is or what they are for. This is always Satan's attack, an attack on the truthfulness of God's word. That it actually corresponds to reality is what I mean. That God actually created everything by calling it out into existence, that which did not exist prior to. And so we have had battles for the Bible for a very long time. The tactics, of course, change. And the doctrines that are affected, of course, change. During Luther's day, it was the doctrine of justification that was under attack and assaulted. That somehow we are not saved by grace through faith on account of Christ alone, but that we add to our salvation by doing works. In our day, of course, it is the doctrine of creation that is under attack. That God created all things, versus what the world and the demons teach us, that it all came out of nothing just by accident, that there is no purpose to it, no design, or then in human sexuality. There can be no alliance between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. None. And once we begin, as we have seen in churches in our own day, take on an alliance with the doctrines of lies that come out of the kingdom of the devil, they are no longer part of the church. And so we must remember that we are in a battle, that we cannot be an ally to that enemy. And on top of that, there is no neutrality. There is no middle ground. There is no walking a fine line so as not to offend either this side or that side. You are either with me, Jesus says, or you are against me. You are either scattering or you are the ones who gather with me, together with me, as I've called you unto myself. There is no neutrality, no middle ground, no middle way. Lest we forget what our Lord in the book of Revelation said to the church of Laodicea. You are neither hot nor cold, you are lukewarm, and therefore I vomit you out of my mouth. We must not pretend that we can walk on tiptoes on this supposed Maginot line and not offend. If we are going to be in the kingdom of Christ and of God, who we are and what we stand for, and what we stand upon, namely the word of God, is in itself that which causes the ire of the enemy. And we should be on the right side. And so the demons must be cast out. This, of course, has happened to you already in the waters of holy baptism. You are not a waterless place. The word of God has been added to the water and has washed you clean, and not just washed, but irrigated you with the Holy Spirit. But let us not delude ourselves into thinking that casting out the demons is enough. There is no intermediate state here, our Lord talks about. What does he say? When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, and when it finds the house swept and put in order, then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. Casting out demons is not enough. The space has to be occupied by something else. It has to be occupied by something that is stronger than the demons. Because you cannot wage war by yourself against those which are stronger than you. And so you need the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, in your life and in your body at all times. There has to be a constant connection between you and the one who is stronger than the strong man. Because otherwise, you leave yourself cleansed, swept clean, put in order so that your last state can be worse than the first. And so there is no alliance, there is no neutrality. Indifference counts for opposition, but there is no intermediate state either. That means that it is a constant, ongoing battle and struggle for you. And that is why it seems so difficult. Not difficult in the sense that it's complicated. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being connected to the Word of God is not complicated. It is very simple. I mean, we have it on our phones, the Word of God. We have Bibles in our houses. We have church twice a week, matins in the morning. It's not complicated. But it can be difficult in the sense that it is not easy to overcome the indifference that we perhaps have, or the lackluster approach that we take to the Word of God, that we do not prize it above all things and gladly hear and learn it. During the Battle of the Bulge, those who were caught behind enemy lines, they sent word back to those who were on the other side. And they asked not for pillows or for sleeping bags, or for socks to keep them warm. They asked for more ammunition. They wanted more ammunition. They were behind enemy lines and were likely going to lose, but they never gave up hope of fighting the mission that they were sent to fight. Let me suggest to you, we are behind enemy lines in this world and in this life. Do not choose what is easy, but choose what is difficult, because you are on a mission to fight the good fight of faith. And you don't do it alone, because you are not a waterless place. He has sent his Spirit, he has put his name on you, and where his name is, there he is also, just as he has always promised. So I suggest to you that being behind enemy lines as you are, call not for comfortable things, call for more ammunition. Use the Word of God and prayer to sanctify all things in your life and to hand over everything to him and to his good pleasure. We are pressing forward to the cross, where God, in his mercy, has sent his Son to die for us and for the sins of the whole world. Let us not, just because it might be a little difficult now, as opposed to the way it was 20, 30, 50 years ago, that somehow we are worse off. We are not worse off, because the one that we fight with and the one that we fight for is the stronger man, who has already won and accomplished his mission. And he is calling for us to gather with him to enjoy the spoils. So let's enjoy the spoils. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.